Well, good morning, church. Let's get out our Bibles this morning, and we are taking a little detour from Acts because I want to just focus in. It's been a busy week. It's going to be a busy several weeks ahead. So I want to just take some time to spend time focusing on the Lord. And since this is a communion service, I'm going to focus on that. Okay, so 1 Corinthians chapter 11 is where we will be in our time together this morning. 1 Corinthians 11. My voice sounds very muffled. Is it muffled to you? Does it sound muffled? There's no brilliance or sharpness. It sounds like I'm going, hello, everybody. Good morning. How are you? It's good to see you today. What's up, man? So anyhow, is it still a little muffled? Is it getting better? Reminds me of a Beatles song, but I won't sing it. 1 Corinthians 11, and let's pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege to be able to gather into this place as your people, the church, today, Lord, and to express our appreciation through song, through worship, Lord, and in singing, and then, Lord, to continue to worship you as we open your word, Lord, because we're not wise and you are. We only see part of the picture and you the whole thing. And so for that reason, Lord, we need to know what your will is. And we can't know your will and who you are and what you want for us unless we know what your word says to us. In your word, the Bible, you've revealed yourself, Lord. And by the power of and the presence of your spirit, you make real and clear to us what your word says, as he is the teacher. So, Lord, we invite the presence and the person of your Holy Spirit into our midst this morning to speak to each one of us. Lord, to touch our hearts and continue to transform our lives. And, Lord, if there are any here today that have not given their lives to you, I pray today that you might draw them to yourself, Lord, that they might sense your life and your love in this body of believers in your church today. And then in sensing that, Lord, your spirit through the work of convicting them in your word, Lord, and drawing them would just bring them into a personal relationship with you. So bless this time now of study in your word, and we'll give you the thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's communion, obviously, this morning, and we come to the Lord's table. And when we come, whenever we come to a time of remembering and doing what Jesus told us to do by way of spending this time, I mean, what is our attitude when we come? Maybe some of you, as you've come in this morning, you didn't even realize it was communion and had no idea. And so you're here going, ah, it's communion. Some of you. Hopefully none of you. But it's possible. We can get this kind of it's just a routine thing that we do. But it should never be. And I pray that God will convict and by the work of His Spirit through His Word, you see, correct that kind of mindset if it has become that. Just something that, okay, we're going to, take of the communion, remembering what Jesus did, and got the wafers, the bread, and then we got the cup and that kind of a thing. And you see, the attitude is not really one of gratitude. And because this is Thanksgiving weekend and we have spent a time with a family, many of us friends, we have glutted ourselves. Probably most of us ate a little bit more than we should have, right? How many of you ate a little bit more than you should have? I have to raise my hand. How many of you didn't eat more than you should have? Raise your hands. Raise them higher. I want to see. Okay. Wow. So God bless you. Anyhow, I tend to, get enjoying the flavors that come around at Thanksgiving. Like, what other day of the year do you usually have the stuffing that goes in the turkey? You know, I mean, we don't have that every day. So we could, but we don't. And so whenever I get it, I enjoy it. You know, the little chunks of celery in it and everything. And then the cranberry sauce, you know, the cranberries in it and all that stuff. And then the turkey. And then you got turkey sandwiches for a while after that I always enjoy. You know, you can put a little stuffing on that. There are people that actually take the sandwich, and then they put stuffing, they put turkey on the bread, and then they put bread in the bread on the turkey, and then put another slice of bread on the top. You're talking a carbohydrate load, okay? Big time. But you know, we spend this time, we talk about Thanksgiving, and to whom is the atheist thankful? Have you ever thought about that? Can the atheist really celebrate Thanksgiving? You see, listen, the one who we received all the blessings that we have received is Jesus. It's Jesus. That's the key. That's why the pilgrims came over. You see, so they could be free to worship. And you know, they worshiped Jesus, many of them. And that's what we want to take some time in the midst of this busyness to do this morning. To just tune in, to focus in on Jesus. Because, see, as Paul is writing the text here in 1 Corinthians in chapter 11, this church was messed up. They had lost the real reason for the communion celebration. The remembrance, the Lord's Supper, as some might call it. These people had a problem with how they approached the Lord's table. Those problems, I believe, still exist in the church. You see, some approach the table as some kind of a mindless routine, you know, and while we're handing out the elements and you know, even partaking of them, some of you may be tempted with, well, let's see, what time's the game on this afternoon? I sure hope he gets us out on time. Or, man, I'm ready for lunch. This is not going to do. This is not going to do it in any way, shape, or form. Some of you may come with sort of a religious ritual kind of attitude. You know what? After I do it, I just feel better about myself, man. I just feel good about myself after I do this. Some of you come with guilt. Man, I've sinned a few times. I really feel bad about that, you see. Some of you come with a fear. Well, am I really worthy? Am I really able to take of this? I'm so messed up. You see, this church had the same problems. You see, what was happening is they would have what they called in the early church there, because many of them were Jews, and as a result of receiving Jesus, they were fired from their jobs, completely alienated from their families. Many of them living, you see, as guests with others, and here they are, and they don't have all the food they need. And so what happened is the church would get together those who had food, and they'd have potlucks, our version of a potluck today. They called them love feasts, and everybody'd get together, and then they'd get in line, and of course, and go through the thing where the different dishes were, you know, of food to feast on, and that was great. But what had happened, it never happens here. I've never seen it happen today. But there were some people who would get in the front of the line, and they'd start taking stuff, and they didn't even care how many people were behind them. They just stacked their plates up as long as they had enough for themselves. Now, that never happens today. You're laughing because, well, you've seen it. Maybe you've done it. Oh, I got to get some of that. I got to get some of that. And you don't think, hey, you know what? I'll just take a little, and if there's leftovers, I just want to make sure everybody gets some. You see, they didn't have that mentality. It's all for me, you see. And Paul was on them because of that attitude. They were drinking the wine and over-drinking, and some of them getting drunk at the love feast. And then, of course, after the potluck feast, they would gather around, sing some worship songs, and then have communion. And Paul's going, you guys, you know the problem? Here you are talking about communion and remembering the Lord and His sacrifice and what He did for you on the cross. And all you're focused in on, all you're concerned about is yourself. Ever been there? Ever struggled with that? You see, the whole thing with the paralyzing guilt or the condemning fear or the mindless routine or the religious ritual, all those things are focused on who? You. And at this moment, at this time, the Lord's Supper here as we celebrate communion, it is a time, it is intended to be set aside for commemorating, of commemoration. We read there in verse 24 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and Paul says this. He says, "And when he had given thanks," speaking of Jesus, "he broke the bread and he said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" This time, thus, is for us to focus not on anything else, not on what you had to do and what went on in the last week. You don't want to focus on that. You don't want to focus on what you have ahead of you in the next few weeks. You don't want to do that. You don't even want to focus on what's before you the rest of today. You know what? This is a time of remembrance set aside for you to focus in. And just for a moment, try and put everything out and focus on Jesus. Not the person in front of you, behind you. Why do they have that hairdo like that? Why? Wonder what that spot is on their head, you know, behind them. You know those rocks on the back? Well, I see shapes and things in those. And this isn't the time for your ADD to kick in. This is your time to kick the ADD out. And do what? Focus. Pay attention. Move into a place of disciplined meditation and say, "Lord, it's time to focus on you. Your body. What you used it for and how people were blessed through the use of the various things that you did in your body. We're focusing in on His blood. Getting away from everything emotionally and mentally and focusing in on Jesus specifically, not just His person, but even more importantly, on His death." It's interesting that Jesus never told us we're about to celebrate His birth, but He never told us to celebrate His birth. That's nowhere in the Scripture where we're told by Jesus to celebrate His birth. Certainly not wrong to do so. But we weren't told to do that. But we are told to remember His death. And Jesus has provided a meal for that purpose. Keep in mind that we are His guests and He is the host. And our focus is solely on Him and what He did for us on the cross 2,000 years ago. In other words, the Passion of the Christ is not just a movie. It's also a feast, a supper, a celebration. And there's not a more beautiful picture of what Jesus did for us and what He means to us than here in the Lord's Supper. You see, He's saying, "I want you to remember not just how I was born primarily, but more importantly, how I lived. And then the focus of this is how I died." You see, the focus is Jesus died on that cross for you. The greatest preacher who ever lived outside perhaps of the Apostle Paul and Jesus himself was a man by the name of Charles Spurgeon. He was called the prince of preachers. On his deathbed, his last words were these: "Jesus died for me." That's the last thing he remembered before he drew his last breath. And so the Lord's Supper, or this communion, is a time of commemoration. It's also a time of appreciation, of thanksgiving. While the passion of the Christ on the cross breaks our heart, it's also the passion of Christ on the cross that saves our souls. You're saved because of what Jesus did. He was brutalized. He was tortured, tormented, shamed. And yet He did it all for us. That's why when we come to this table, we ought to come with an attitude of gratitude. And that gratitude is greater the more you realize the depth of sin. That's why we sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a fairly dysfunctional person, a basically good person with needs in need of help. When that song was sung, the writer realized who they were. And thus a great appreciation, because you know how the words go. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a what? Say it louder with more conviction. Are you a wretch?
Man, that's not very positive, dude. Come on, man, let's be positive.
Well, I'm positive that I'm a wretch. Can I tell you that? I'm positive that I'm a wretch, you know. And I would suggest that you take a good look at Jesus and you'll discover that, guess what? You don't have it all that together either. You see, but the more I realize my wretchedness, the more precious what Jesus did on the cross for me. So the Lord's Supper is a time of commemoration. It's a time of appreciation. A time where you give thanks for what He's done. It's also a time of proclamation. There in verse 26, He says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes." You see, what we're doing here speaks of the fact that Jesus died, and He died that we might be forgiven. He died that we might be born again, and that we might live, you see, eternally in glory in heaven. That's what this is preaching. Hey, guess what? We have victory over death because Jesus not only died, He rose again from the dead. And since He rose, guess what? There is a resurrection for us from the dead who will go home to be with Jesus in glory through all eternity. So important to recognize, to realize. This is a sermon. It's preaching a sermon. It's telling us what happened, you see, on that cross. Jesus' body broken, beaten for us. Jesus' blood shed, the sinless Son of God, His blood shed for sinners. He took what you deserve. That's why He was beaten so radically. That's why He was tormented, and that's why He was shamed and exposed there, hanging in the place of a criminal, because we did the crimes. He did the time. He paid the price. He was treated like a sinner so we could be treated like sons of God and daughters of God. The sinless Son of God treated like a sinner to bring us into that kind of relationship. You see, the bread that we have here speaks of the body of Christ. The juice of the grape speaks of the blood of Jesus Christ. It's a picture. For those of you who have children in the home, especially, what a great way to teach your children about what Jesus did for them. Dads, you're the pastor of your home. Guess what? Celebrate communion. Gather the family together. It preaches, it puts in their mindset what Jesus did for them. It presents a picture, you see. So it's a time of commemoration, a time of appreciation, and a time of proclamation. It's also a time, as we read here, of examination. Therefore, because of the bread and the cup that this means, and proclaiming the Lord's death and preaching that Jesus died for us and He's coming again for us, He says, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drink this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, in verse 28. And so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. That word for examine literally means to prove or to qualify. In other words, Paul is saying, before you take of these elements, you got to make sure you are qualified, and two things qualify you to take the Lord's Supper. Number one, you have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord of your life and received Him as your Savior and forgiver of sins. And number two, you're willing to be honest about sin with any sin that you have in your life, and you're willing to acknowledge and to confess that sin and then to take care of that sin, to repent of it as God convicts you and directs you in that way. You see, the Lord's Supper essentially is a time that you are to do three things with any sin in your life as believers. Number one, identify it. Ask God before you take of this meal, Lord, you died for me. Is there anything that I'm involved in? Is there any sin that I am guilty of that I'm still driving the nails in your hands on that cross? I'm still spitting on you and mocking you in the way I behave and the practice that I'm doing, you see. We need to identify it. God, if there's any sin, like David said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And Lord, if there's any wicked way, reveal it. When's the last time you prayed for that? God, there's sins that I'm aware of, but Lord, if there's anything that I'm unaware of, God, I want you to show me that sin. The sins that I'm aware of, Lord, I want to call them what you call them. That's what confession is. I want to agree with you, Lord, that it's sin. I'm not making excuses. I'm not justifying it. This is sin. It's wrong. It's a crime against a holy God. And I confess and agree, Lord, that this is sin. And God, I'm willing to repent. I'm willing to turn from this sin. But you can't turn from a sin you're not willing to identify. So you got to identify the sin first. Then you got to rectify it, admitting it, and asking forgiveness for it. And then you need to purify it. And that means, and lead me in the way everlasting, David said. Search me, O God, know my heart, try me and know my thoughts. And Lord, if there's any wicked way, I want to confess that, acknowledge that, and then I want you to lead me in the way everlasting. In other words, lead me away from that. I'm willing to walk and live differently, Lord. Strengthen me. Fill me with your Spirit. The power to change me, you see, is in Him. Today, maybe you've come today and you're not sure your sin is forgiven. You're not sure you have the hope of heaven. And you know what? We need to be warned and heed the warning here of these words when it says that if you drink of this bread, or eat of this bread rather, and drink of this cup of the Lord unworthily. How can you be unworthy? Well, it says not discerning the body of Jesus. Not discerning the body and the blood. What's that mean? That means that you have not yet given your life to Jesus Christ. You have not responded to the invitation to come to Him, all you who are thirsty, and drink in of the water of life. All you who are guilty, come unto me, all ye that labor, working hard to be good and to get it together, and are heavy laden, trying to unload the guilt and the weight of your failure to try and change your life. Come unto me, Jesus says. And guess what you're going to find? Rest, refreshment, recreation for your souls. Something a vacation can't give you. You can go on vacation and come back still is stressed out and even maybe more stressed out and less satisfied than when you left because you spent some of your, I was going to have fun with this broke, that broke, and even if it didn't break, you know, I didn't have as much fun and I wish it was a little longer, and you come back and then you realize I spent all this money. And you know what? The Bible talks about heavy laden man trying to get it together, trying to keep it together. Trying to keep everything moving, all the plates spinning. You ever felt like that? And things are on edge, man. Oh, it's all about to fall apart. Jesus says, come to me. If you're in that condition today and you can't get it together and you realize that, you know, that you can't keep it together, he says, you'll find rest if you'll just simply come today and give your life to him. That's the invitation. The bad news is that you're a sinner, that you're bummed out, burdened down, and stressed out. And Jesus says, hey, you don't have to stay there. That's the bad news. The good news is you can be refreshed. You can leave here with a soul, your innermost being refreshed like the water poured into the dryness and the deadness of your soul. You can have that today. How do you get that? Through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, who paid the price, took the guilt, took the shame that your sin brings on you. He took that shame on the cross in your place. He died there for you. You see, and so as a result, you can come today and you can have your sin forgiven. You can leave here a changed man or woman with the hope of heaven. You can be born again. Have a new start and a new life right here, right now. And you know what? That's the invitation. Jesus invites you into his family. Jesus invites you to the Heavenly Father. The Father who loved you enough to send his Son to die in your place, to take what you deserve, to pay the price for your sins. You committed the crime. He took the punishment and did the time in your place. And that's the good news. If you'll come to him, guess what? You can have your sin forgiven. You can have the hope of heaven. You can have life abundantly right here and right now, and then life eternally in glory with him. Because of what Jesus has done on the cross for you and for me. That's why we have these elements. Jesus wants us to remember how much he loves us. He didn't just tell us he loves us. Like a lot of people tell us, I love you, but they do nothing. They're not willing to sacrifice anything. They only love you if it's convenient. Jesus says, listen, I love you. And then he demonstrated that love by taking every action to sacrifice and to reach out to those that were hurting. Look at what Jesus did in his body while he was walking on planet Earth. How much did he do for his own comfort? Not much. He was always seeking to reach out to others that were hurting and struggling and needed help. He was there for them. He was there to counsel them, to help those that are anxious and worried, to help those whose lives were messed up and whose bodies were broken. He reached out to them who were broken. You see, that's what he used his body to do. He showed love. He didn't just say it. And then he died, taking what we deserve. The Bible says God told Adam and Eve, the day that you eat of this tree, you will die. That's what sin brings, death. It brings destruction and death. Jesus says, I want you to have life, and that more abundantly. How do you come out of death into life? You come to Jesus Christ, who died on the cross of Calvary. How do you do that? Well, first of all, you got to confess that you're a sinner and don't have it together. If you can get there, okay, if you realize you don't have it together and that you're not perfect, if you've finally come to that realization,
Then there's the next step. Once you confess, I don't have it together, I can't keep it together, I'm not perfect, I've failed. I've done wrong things, I've hurt people unintentionally, some of you maybe even intentionally. And you know what? Is there forgiveness for me? Yes. If you'll come to Jesus Christ, confessing it, Lord, I'm a sinner, I don't have it together. Lord, come into my life and be my Savior, be my God. You see, God invites you to come into His family. You see, because this is a family meal, you need to be careful, because if you take of this bread and drink of this cup together with the rest of us, and you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, guess what you do? You drink, as we read here, judgment of you, to yourself. In verse 29 says, for you eats and drinks in an unworthy manner, eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. In other words, not discerning what Jesus did on the cross for you. You see, here's the deal. If you take of these elements, the assumption is you've heard the gospel. And if you've never heard it before, guess what? You've heard it now. So you will never from this day forward be able to say, nobody ever told me that Jesus died on the cross for me and I could have my sins forgiven and the hope of heaven by believing in Him. If I'll just put my faith in the finished work of the cross, Jesus says there's no good deed I need to do. It is finished. The work for sin, the atonement, the payment was paid for there on the cross. No more payment made. What do you need to do? You need to, first of all, confess your sin. You need to repent of it. You need to be willing to change. God will give you the power to change. You just need to be willing. And then you need to be born again. You need to let Jesus be Lord of your life. You see, that, my friends, is the gospel. Jesus died on the cross for you. And listen, He rose again on the third day. We don't worship a dead teacher like many religions have. We worship a living Savior, proving that the Father received the sacrifice of the Son, the atonement for your sin, for my sin, that payment on that cross. He was risen again from the dead. We don't worship a hope-so God. We worship a no-so God. Now the question is, do you know that you're forgiven today? We'd love you to join in this meal with us. But we don't want you to drink judgment to yourself. And if you're not sure that your sin is forgiven, that you have the hope of heaven, what are you waiting for? Well, I got to clean up my act first. Forget it. I can tell you, I've been there, done that, never did it. I mean, I should have said, been there, tried that, never did it. Never done that. I couldn't get it together. The more I tried, the worse it got. You know what? You just need to come like you are to Jesus Christ. Acknowledging, God, I don't have it together. And I need help. I need a Savior. The good news is there is a Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord, who loves you. And you're not here by accident. Maybe you're saying, boy, I sure picked a bad day to show up. You know what I mean? No, you didn't. First of all, you didn't pick it. God did. You're here by His appointment because He loves you and He knew that you would be here on this day in this year from all eternity. He's always known you would be here today and He's brought you here for the very purpose of telling you that He loves you and wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to take away the guilt and the burden and the weight of your sin. If you'll just simply come to Him today, then you can join with us. You see, because the Bible says, if you'll call on the name of the Lord, guess what happens? You'll be saved. So today, if you're not sure your sin is forgiven, if you don't know that you have the hope of heaven and that you're born again, man, now's the time. This is your moment. This is your opportunity to come out and to be part of the family of God, to stand up for Jesus Christ, and to join us as we celebrate and commemorate what He's done for us on the cross. So for those of you that haven't yet responded to Christ, I'm going to give you an opportunity before we enter into the time of communion. So let's pray. Lord, we thank You for this time that we can come into this place and focus on You, Jesus, what You've done for us.
how you love us. Lord, we look at just the beauty of your creation and the design. And Lord, we know, Lord, as we look around, that this is not a result of an explosion somewhere in the eons of time back in space. And this all exploded into being. Lord, we recognize that design and just the organization and the continuation, Lord, of this planet spinning at the rate it's spinning, at the angle it's spinning, at the distance it's spinning from the sun and how it's going around the sun. Lord, we recognize, God, that you put us in this place. And you put us here furthermore with purpose. And that purpose is to have a relationship with you and to glorify you, our Creator. And Lord, I pray if there's any here today, as you've called us to remember the love that you had for us, to not forget, Lord, the sacrifice that you made on that cross in our place. Lord, I pray if there's any who have not yet given their lives to you today, they've come today, they're not sure their sin is forgiven, they have that hope of heaven. Lord, I pray right now, you would just draw them to yourself, that they might join with us in this celebration, that they might leave here changed men and women by the power of the living God.